All right, welcome back. There we go. Had to wait for that one. Welcome back to Canucks Talk here on Sportsnet 650. It's Jamie Dodd, Thomas Drantz, and Landon Ferraro. We're all live from the Kintec Studio, 650,
is
650.
Is this rights-free Paul Van Dyke? Is it really? Did I actually nail it?
Yeah.
Wow, look at you.
Does it not sound like the Love, Inc. song?
No, it definitely sounds like the politics of dance.
I'm going to be honest, I have no idea what you guys are talking about.
Poor
I'll leave
Landon.
It at that.
You uncultured swine.
That's right. 6:56. By the way, they played Beethoven's Fifth at the Canucks game on Monday against the Sharks.
Really?
It was very exciting. Yeah.
Show.
It was like a remix, though. It started as the normal thing, and then it went into some like techno thing.
I missed it.
I did the Leo meme. I was like, it's our song.
Our song.
650-650 is the Dunbar Lumber text line. Metro Vancouver's trusted choice for contractors and rental warriors for over 50 years. Visit them in one of their three locations to serve you or online at DunbarLumber.com.
Are we doing a token whiteboard and we'll just kind of
no.
go through the motions?
I don't really want to.
But we do it every day.
And we have Landon here.
Yeah, but that's okay. We do the whiteboard and we just structure our conversation around it. I think we'll be fine.
All right. Dom, did you hear that? We're going to do the whiteboard with Landon.
Yeah.
There we go. It's the last game of the season. I'm just doing whatever.
Yeah,
I'm freelancing. 100%. I'm improvising.
To be clear, we'll do a very like deconstructed version.
It is your daily deep dive into what's up with the Canucks, however. And the headline, of course, is the Canucks playing their final game of the season. Now, we talked a little bit about the fact that it's Brock Besser's final or potential final game, I should say. Of course, there's still a chance he comes back, but potential final game.
Honestly?
With a Canuck.
Yeah, it's
honestly,
unlikely.
He's unlikely, though. That's in his own words. Now, the other figure, of course, that some people are keeping an eye on is Rick Tocchet. The I would say, much lesser potential, but this could be his final game with the Vancouver Canucks. And, you know, we were talking about media availabilities. They're happening on Friday. At least Friday, we'll see, maybe Saturday as well. How important is it for the Canucks to not just take care of the Tocchet situation quickly, but specifically get him back? Get him back and get it done, ideally, so they can be telling all of us Friday or Saturday, hey, Tocchet's agreed to an extension, he's sticking around.
I mean, it would be huge. If you can go into your summer, like at the very start of it, and knowing obviously who your coach is, and then you can start planning your team from there. Like, the longer that this decision goes into summer, like, it's just uncertainty hanging over it. So obviously that's not what they're wanting. And again, like I think I was talking the last time I was in here when we were talking about this as
yes.
well, just like the
as
other three storylines
yep.
of the year. you know, like it's something that they've both sides have known each other for a really long time.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this isn't something where I imagine they're trying to play cat and mouse a little bit with each other and, you know, can we make this work? Can we do that? Like, it's going to be very straightforward. It's going to be, you know, it's very much in Rick Tocchet's hands of what he wants to do and where he wants to coach, if he wants to get into something else. Like, you have no idea what's going on, but for the team, the quicker that they know the answer one way or the other, it is the best thing for the team, because then they can get moving in the direction with him, which, you know, I think would be the best situation. He's done a great job. Obviously, Quinn Hughes, you know, he has his remarks
yeah.
the other day. Like, there's a player saying, yes, I like a coach, or, you know, I think he's done a good job. And then there's what Quinn Hughes did. Like, that's a completely different
there's
type
a difference.
Statement.
There's a standard answer, right? Hey, I don't want to create any waves and I want to give him a vote of confidence. There's that. And then there's above and beyond, which is what Quinn Hughes has done on several occasions for Tocchet.
Yeah. And I mean, like, the fact that he touches on, like, you know, look where he's helped me get my game to. But then, because it's Quinn and Tocchet, like, they both do the same thing. Like, they care about the team so much that he says, you know, like, you know, he's where he's gotten my game, but like, look at what he's done with all these other players as well. And the team has turned around from when he got here, you know, quite a bit. The penalty kill goes from, you know, what it was to
mm-hmm.
sitting at the top of the league essentially now and playing unreal. So, I mean, there's so many good parts to it that obviously, like, you know, I think he is the right man for the job still, and it's just about whether, you know, realistically, like, he wants to do it or not.
We've had some people text in over the last few days. If you listen to Tocchet over the course of, I don't know, maybe the last week, and again today, there have been points where he's referencing next year. He's starting to drop that a little bit. And even today it was, you know, we're going to have to talk about our home record and figure out what we can do differently. And we're going to have to talk about some new messaging we can give the group and all of that. Do you read anything into that? Because I can see reading into it. I can also see it's Rick talking and he's always thinking about what he can improve, right? I can kind of see either interpretation of that one.
And I honestly, like, I'm kind of with you on that. Like, yeah. I see it both ways. Like, I see him, and you can obviously, like, because I've been noticing it too, like, it's almost every scrum that he has now, yeah. There's at least one thing of, you know, like, oh, we're trying to get things better for next year, we're working on things for next year, or whatever it might be. But at the same time, I think that's just who Rick Tocchet is. Like, even the quote the other night of, or before the last game, someone asked him, like, you know, there's always the talk of playing spoiler, mm-hmm. and how does that play in for you? And one of his first answers to that was, you know, it's about having respect for the NHL and doing your job until the very end. Like, this league has given him an amazing playing career and now a coaching career, and he's talked about it a ton. Like, for him, he's still this head coach, and he's going to do everything he possibly can to help this team be in a better position tonight than it was this morning even. And that's something where you can think whatever you want, X's and O's and, right. and everything, but the one thing you can't question with Rick Tocchet is how much he cares for his job and the responsibility that comes with it.
Let's move into the... what's the next one?
Broadsheet. The broadsheet. Rumor roundup.
Yeah, because John Shannon suggested that he thought the deal would get done within a week, or that within a week we'd have some certainty here. Elliot Friedman, of course, has reported that this should wrap itself up soon. My experience just covering the Canucks with coaching matters across the last 10 to 15 years is that there's almost no area with which I proceed with more caution and skepticism, even when there's credible reports out there. How big a boost do you think it is, given sort of how disappointing this season has been, for this team to just sort of conduct this business smoothly and quietly and efficiently and sort of get the offseason kicked off the right way?
I think that would be their goal as well. Like, the management group's been sitting in this year, honestly, more than anyone, yep. more than the players, more than the coaches, more than fans, us, media. Like, they're the ones that are sitting there every day trying to figure it out. And this year has had a lot of loud noise on top of some really challenging situations. So, you know, I would think it's pretty fair to assume that, yeah, like, they want to get this offseason started in a very smooth way to where they can kind of just get back to letting the engine kind of run itself, and things just, you can actually start planning down the road instead of trying to put out a fire here and a fire there on the side of the road.
Yeah, especially as things drag on with Tom Volander. I mean, Rick and I both reporting today that there's still no progress there. And the fact that, you know, however things shake out with both Brock Besser and Pew Suter, given the context of holding them beyond the deadline, it feels like, you know, you sign those guys to contracts that are, I mean, they're going to be heavy. Nick Dowd just signed for $3 million a year. Iafallo just signed for 3.7 and got term at that level. Like, they're going to be big deals. So either you sign those guys in their sticker shock, or you hold fast and it's going to be like, they should have sold them at the deadline. I mean, there's a lot of tricky situations for this management group, like no-win situations for this management group to stick handle here. Feels like just getting one easy win would be priceless.
Yeah, and I think that's where management groups and the individuals that make them up, like, they have to be wired a little different than mm-hmm. a lot of other positions in, like, in hockey or in sport, whatever it is, because in no-win situations, like, you still have to have a plan.
Right.
And you have to know that you might be making a decision that you know you're going to hear it instantly and people are not going to be happy with it. But if you see what move B, C, and D are,
yep.
but we don't yet, like, you got to be able to stand there and take that heat knowing that, okay, this still might not work, but we do have a plan and we're sticking to it, because the groups that get into a ton of trouble are the ones that decide they're going to go one direction, then, you know, something doesn't quite work in it, and then they completely panic and go a completely separate
yes.
way, right? Like, that's where, like, when you're making those panic decisions, that's where you put not even just the team for the next season in trouble, but for years down the line. So you got to be able to sit there and take some of this while making some moves. And at the end of the day, you got to trust your own judgment and your scouting staff and, you know, all the way down the organization to make those decisions.
Yeah, and you can see it with management changes. Like, sometimes you'll have a management change where a club immediately pivots their direction and there's usually consequences. Sometimes you'll get budgetary things. I mean, that's one thing that happened, even though it was through the Jim Benning was the general manager for both. But you look at that fall of 2020 where Tanev, Markstrom, and Toffoli all depart, and the club is, you know, very cash conscious, right? That's a difficult offseason. And then the next summer, it's like all in, spend to make the playoffs, and you execute badly both times, but in different ways, and end up in a far worse position as a result of sort of organizational uncertainty, like the lack of a thoughtful through line and a plan. I think you're right. That's where things get really tricky.
Speaking of lineup news and notes from the Morning Skate today, again, for Game 82 against Vegas. So big story, one of the big stories from the Morning Skate, Philip Hedl, full participant in practice. And, I mean, first of all, that's just a fantastic story for him, considering his concussion history. And Tockett spoke about how upbeat he was today, you know, feeling like he maybe really dodged the worst-case scenario here. You know, we only saw 15 games of Philip Hedl, 2 goals in those 15 games, 6 points. I also think, though, it's fair to say that he brought pretty clearly a dynamic that didn't really exist in any other forward on the team. At his size, his skating ability, his ability to handle the puck through the neutral zone, you saw how much of a difference it could make. Going into next season, assuming he's, and that's, I know it's a big assumption, but assuming he's healthy and ready to go at the start of the year, what are your expectations? What kind of role should we be expecting to see Philip Hedl in for the Canucks next season?
Well, I mean, it's in an ideal world, I think he's still your number three center with, you know, you've gone out and found, you know, your 1-2 center, and then Pettersson is back, you know, to his old game. Like, that's three, you know, assuming whoever the third is,
right,
is up in that echelon. Like, that now changes your front, you know, your forward group pretty quickly. And for a guy like Hedl, like, that's essentially the type of player you're trying to find as your other center as well, right? Obviously, one with a bit more natural scoring ability to help up front. But at the same time, like you said, like, as soon as Hedl got here, his puck transporting through the neutral zone was night and day from anything that had been here for the first half of the year. And so to have someone that can, they can carry a puck through, can carry it out of trouble areas, but do it at pace, get around the offensive zone. Like, now you start adding in those complementary pieces to go along. But again, like, if you can get him down to the third line, like, all of a sudden, you know, going 1-3, like, you have three lines that can probably score a decent amount. And then, you know, the Canucks' fourth line has always, for the most part, been a pretty productive trio, whoever they put out there. So, you know, all of a sudden, like, your group gets pretty deep, but there's a lot of holes you need to fill in and some question marks. Like, it's like you said off the start of this, like, it's amazing to see Hedl out there, and he was out there with a smile moving around, which is awesome.
Huge.
To see. But it's a long summer, and he's got, you know, he's got some ways to go still. So it's hopefully everything stays you know, it's going north for him, and something where he can step in and be that transporter, because the lineup looks completely different with him in and out.
Yeah.
Kevin Lankinen's getting the start as well tonight. Have you ever heard of a guy getting shut down for the season from illness?
No, I don't think so. Well, actually, my year in Boston, Tuukka Rask didn't play the last game of the season because he was ill.
But so, were you going into the playoffs?
No, we weren't. So technically, he was shut down for the season.
There you go.
Fair enough. But that's one game.
Debunked it really quick. Wow.
You did, but that was one game, not 5 days. If I was to say my Spidey sense is tingling here a bit, would you say You know, you maybe, or would you say Durant's get alive?
Well, he might say that anyways.
Where are you coming down on this?
I honestly, like, to me, I think it's something where he got in some good starts down the stretch, and it was a way to get Tolopilo into a game.
Yep.
Like, at this point, it's
sorry,
kind of...
So you've got a different conspiracy.
Oh, man. Here we go. We're talking ourselves into one here.
All right, we can move on. We don't need to do playoff odds. But let's do gambling.
Okay, sure.
Okay, because I actually want to talk
the
about
smile
something
on his face right now.
This is his favorite part of the show.
Gambling.
He lives for this. He lives for this every day.
This is my favorite thing in life.
Did I just say that out loud?
Boys, 7 of 8 series are now set. 7 of 8 first round playoff series. Let's go through the odds and discuss opportunities, what we like, what we don't like.
Okay.
Ready? Colorado versus Dallas. I said it earlier this week. I said Colorado plus 900 is a value. They are now favored. The market has spoken.
Yeah.
They're now favored against Dallas, minus 130, Dallas plus 110. I still think Colorado minus 130. You are getting good value there. The Dallas Stars have completely fallen apart defensively.
They have. I don't know what's going on with Dallas, but it's hard to.
I mean, you kind of know one thing that's gone wrong is Haskin is out.
Yeah,
and
that's fair.
Like, that's taking out a top player in the world, really. Like,
yep.
He is unbelievable.
And the right side of their defense just cannot stomach that loss. Like, they are taking a punch in their glass jaw. It's a punch they can't take.
Oh, and, I mean, we can just keep throwing it on, apparently. But, for like, honestly, for Ottinger, like, he's a very good goalie that has some holes sometimes. And that'll be a big thing this year. Like, he's going to have to be unbelievable to get through that series.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, especially with the way Colorado compresses. And, man, it's a tall order. The Edmonton Oilers favored minus 135 against the LA Kings plus 115. So, markets see that as a pretty close series.
So, I've been making the point on the show, Landon, that I think the avalanche of people rushing to pick the Kings in this series is going to be overwhelming, right? Like, fourth year in a row, but the most vulnerable Edmonton has looked for a lot of different reasons. I think they're going to be beyond a trendy pick. I know you follow the Oilers really well. Like, do you see things the same way, that Edmonton is very, very vulnerable here?
I mean, to say they're very, very vulnerable.
Sure. One too many varies.
We could take out one and maybe even half of the other one.
They're vulnerable.
No, they're vulnerable.
Moderately vulnerable.
No, but if I had to pick right now, I think I do take L.A.
Yeah.
I think it's been 4 years and their players have been getting a bit older. They're getting more mature. They've been through some more experiences. Their games have stepped up. And honestly, the biggest one, like, obviously, if you have Draisaitl and McDavid, you're always going to be in the series.
Yes.
But the fact that Matthias Ekholm is out, that is
a huge
hole on the back end. But Wallman hasn't been playing as well. So that's another piece. And then the biggest one is the goaltending. Like, Calvin Pickard has been playing some good hockey down the stretch, but even his last outing was a bit tougher.
You just summarized
Skinner.
Pickard has been playing some good hockey down the stretch is not something that gives me any confidence, no.
And Skinner, you know, he's just coming back. He's going to play, I believe he's playing again tonight in San Jose, but, you know, like, that is a big question mark. I like L.A.,
yeah, me too.
All right.
Really quick, though. Plus 200, Wild versus Golden Knights. Golden Knights minus 240. Blues plus 175. Jets are minus 210 favorites. And now we can do the Eastern Conference tomorrow.
We'll do it tomorrow. All right. There you go. That's the whiteboard. That's the show. Shout out to Landon for sticking around for an hour with us. So we're back tomorrow to break down Game 82 here on Canucks Talk Sportsnet 650.